about your future, and I'm using the illustration of a puzzle. I want to welcome everyone who is watching live on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or listening on podcast. It's good to have you with us as well, guys. So, it was last April or May, I was praying, and I keep a journal, and I love to just write down what I think the Holy Spirit is saying to me. Sometimes it is God, sometimes it's my own imagination, and I find writing helps it. But last April or May, I kept writing down, the future is a puzzle. I didn't know where it came from. And I began to think of, I don't know what happened there. Is there something going on there? Yeah, that's me. No, something's going on there, guys. So I began to think about my future, and I began to think about jigsaws. And I've never had the patience for jigsaws. But my wife, Denise, is a great lady for patience. How many people here like jigsaws? Whoa, okay. There's two here, three, any more? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Keep your hands up, don't be ashamed. 9, 10, 11, 12, down the back. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay, so that's about 10% of us like jigsaws. I suppose they were more popular years ago. And I've seen people have the patience to do 5,000-piece jigsaws. I would go off my skull. But I think it's a brilliant illustration. And I have up here pieces of a jigsaw puzzle that are symbolic of your life. Your future. My future. And sometimes as Christians even, we lose the plot and we forget some really important basics that God wants us to know. So at the end of the message here today, I'm going to invite you, if you're up for it, to take a piece of the jigsaw as a representative, or a representation, I should say, of your future, of what you know one bit, but there's so much you don't know. So pay attention, if you wouldn't mind, just over the next 25 minutes as we look at some scriptures about what might be your future. And so I pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, your Holy Spirit would move here. Whatever is from Tom Burke would be forgotten straight away. But whatever is from you, Lord, would resonate in our hearts. And it would take root. And it would help us to walk the Christian path in a better way. Speak, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In my experience, I became a Christian at the age of 19, and I didn't come from a Christian home, but something I learned early on, and that was, when God wants us to enter a promise, there is usually a barrier of some description before we come into the promise. Here is the truth. God is a God of promises. I'll say it over here because you're very quiet. God is a God of promises.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't know what to make of that. But all you got to do is open your Bible and you can see promises. Are they conditional? Oh yeah. Oh yes. But that's okay, isn't it? That makes it fair, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But God is a God of promises into our lives, but usually there is a barrier of some kind before we can move in to our future, to our promise. For example, you know this one, the children of Israel were about to enter the promised land, but there was a flooded river Jordan. At the edge of the flooded river Jordan, those who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant with the Ten Commandments walked into that flooded river. Then the waters separated and they crossed over on dry ground. On dry ground. If you think of how they carried it, there were two guys at the front. They used to carry it on poles. What does it mean? It's the presence of God. That's what it was then. That's what we would see it today. But there were two guys carrying the Ark of the Covenant on poles, and one of them had to put his foot in the water. And it was flooded. And you were drowned there. And I almost lost my life through a drowning incident years ago. I'll never forget it. But one guy had to have faith to take that step. He had one piece of the jigsaw. And that was, let's call him Levi. Levi, you have to step into the water. But it's flooded. I'll be carried away. I will drown. I've got a wife. I've got kids. Have faith in God. This is the one piece you got to do. And so he took the step of faith. And then 1.5 million people followed. Because one guy had a little bit of faith to step in. And that one piece of the jigsaw he knew, he was faithful. If he hadn't been faithful, what would have happened? The waters would not separate until they obeyed the first step. And that's the same with your life and my life. Let's say, I know we're August, it's high holiday, but September, to me, for most people, is like a new year. September is the beginning of a new year. The kids go back to school, people start college, work reorganizes itself. A lot of new people, we had guys in the 10 o'clock service who are all starting new jobs in September. September is kind of like January, it's like a new year. And it's just a couple of weeks away that many of us will be making decisions. And we need to know the next step. And what's more important, we need to accept that is all we need. We need it at one step at a time. Look at this promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. At the age of 19, as I just became a Christian, this is the first verse I learnt off by heart. I wrote it out, and there hasn't been a week in the last 45 years that I have not quoted that to my soul. I declare it to my soul, and it always works. Hallelujah. He has never let me down. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. You see, I think I know it all, naturally. I think I've got this worked out. No, I don't. How dare I? Are we really that full of ourselves? God forbid. Submit to him and he will make our path straight. Another example of this happening is in the Old Testament, there was a prophet called Elijah and God gave him a very specific word. Go to a widow. There was a drought or famine on the land. The whole nation was being punished, but even in a judgment, God rescues his people. You look at Noah and his family, you go right throughout scripture, you can see how God rescues his people. He is a rescuer. Would anyone say amen? Amen. Somebody here needs to hear that prophetically today. You feel like you are drowning, and God is saying, I am a rescuer. I am rescuing you. The Lord said to Elijah, go to Zarephath. I have told the widow there to feed you. When he arrived, he saw a widow gathering sticks and he asked her to bring him some food. 1 Kings 17:8. I have no food, she said, except for a handful of flour and a small little jug of oil. How many of us are here today and we're saying, I have no friends except for, I have no health except for, I have no hope except for. You see, except for is your key. Last week, we were looking at Jesus who only had 5 little loaves to feed 5,000. And do you remember we broke bread? We had the bread and the wine, and we saw that when Jesus broke that bread, something happened supernaturally. Something was multiplied from heaven. And we lifted up the bread last Sunday, and we broke it, and we prayed into our situations. In the same way, brothers, sisters, we look into our future, and so often we feel overwhelmed or hopeless, but there is an except for in your life. It's just we overlook it. My son and I are going to eat our last meal and then we are going to die. You could call it the Last Supper, but it wasn't a Last Supper. She was expecting and planning for death. I have been a pastor many decades and I've seen so many people and sat with people who had written themselves off, written off their marriages, written off their future, whether it's educational or in their career or their health. And I would say 9 out of 10 were wrong. It wasn't the end. I can see loads of faces flashing before my mind's eye. It wasn't the end, but it felt like the end. Felt like. They were so overwhelmed by their circumstances. This poor lady was ready for death. But God's plan was life. Was life. And so in the midst of a terrible drought and famine, when there was only a tiny bit left, God was planning life. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. The flour will not run out." Who'll say amen?
Amen?
The oil will keep flowing until this famine ends. I prophesy, until your famine ends, God will not leave you alone. God will not leave you die. Until this struggle in my marriage ends, until all these exams I keep failing and I get through it, until the trouble at work, until the hassle in my family, whatever it is, don't be afraid. God will provide for you emotionally, mentally, financially, physically, spiritually, until the famine ends. So what did the woman do? She could so easily have gone, "All right, thanks very much for that. Oh yeah, words are free. Life and death are in the power of the tongue." And Elijah was speaking life, speaking hope from God. So she did as Elijah the prophet had said, and what he said came to pass according to the word of the Lord. This wasn't Elijah's idea. This was the word of the Lord. And we need the word of God to break into our lives, break into our thinking, break into our emotions.
Amen.
Anyone else say amen?
Amen.
She allowed the word of life to break into her experience. And there she was with just a tiny bit of oil and a tiny bit of flour, and it just kept multiplying and multiplying and multiplying, and she did not die. God is speaking prophetically to someone about your son. He will not die. He will not die. I don't know, is it physical or is it relational? He will not die. God is going to bring him through. Hallelujah. So what happened here? She only had a little flour and oil. She thought it was the end, but God had given her enough for the next step. If I can draw the analogy, brothers and sisters, the Lord had given her enough. He had given her one piece of the jigsaw for the next step. She could not see all of the picture. She didn't see the whole thing, the big picture, the completed jigsaw. All she saw was one little piece of the jigsaw, and that was enough. Because she trusted in the word of the Lord. Do you know the most popular Bible verse across the world for people who read the Bible is from Jeremiah. Many of you know it. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Jeremiah 29:11. We always rush on to the promise But I want to press pause on the start. God has plans for you. And you might say, yeah, but he has. I'll tell you someone else who has plans for you. The evil one, the enemy of your soul, Satan, he has plans for your life. And they will always end in death because he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came to bring life and life in abundance. Doesn't mean we don't suffer. It doesn't mean we don't have hard times. But I can tell you this, as I look back over my life, I thank God I have Jesus in my life. I do not know how I would have coped with life without him. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So God has plans for you here in the middle, and you down the back, and you over here, and you here, and you, and you, and me. He has plans for us. What are those plans? The rest of the verse says, makes it so clear. Plans to prosper you or bless you and not to harm you. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Plans to give you hope and a future. We are living in one of the wealthiest countries in the world, yet the rate of hopelessness, of suicide and depression and anxiety is off the scales. So many people are so depressed. Even though there's loads of money around, money is never the answer.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is a great servant, but a terrible master.
Amen.
Ireland seems to have been a lot more hopeful when there was less money. For me as a child, anyway, that's what it looked like. That's what the statistics seem to point at. That's why, as an alternative community to what the world offers, we have to remind ourselves we have a hope. We have a future. God will not harm us. He wants to prosper us. Hallelujah. Humans love. We love. We like to plan our way ahead. But it is the Lord who directs our steps. I always think of this as, I'm going my way, and let's say I'm going this way, and it's almost as if in my mind's eye I see the nail-pierced hands of Jesus just catch my ankles and turn me this way. I'm going that way, but the Lord said, no, it's this way. And I'm going, yeah, but that way looks great, Lord. Except I don't see the ambush. I don't see the trap. I don't see the poison and the attack. And this way might not look as good, but oh my goodness, God is there. God is before me. I want to go God's way, do you?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Yes.
Go the Lord's way. Narrow is the way to life. But it ends in eternity. It ends in blessing. Broad is the way to destruction, but it ends in death. I choose the narrow path because I know it widens out into blessing. But it means we deny ourselves initially. It means we surrender. And it is the best thing we can do. He who wants to find his life will lose it. But he who is willing to lose his life for my sake, says the Lord, will find it. God will direct your steps. Your September is in God's hands. You're going back to school, you're starting college, you starting a new job, you starting a new section in your job when people are coming back from holidays, you moving to a new home, you've just moved here, I don't know what it is, but I do know this, God will direct your steps if you trust him. If you just take the one piece of the jigsaw and say, Lord, I trust you for this step and I trust you for the bigger picture. When I was, must have been 17 or 18, I was dating Denise. Denise was 15 and I was 17 when we started dating. I'd probably be arrested today, I suppose. I was only a child myself, you know. But anyway, we were dating and there wasn't an awful lot to do hugely. But I remember we used to go to the cinema a bit, and there was a cinema just around the corner here on Winthrop Street called the Lee Cinema. It was called after the river. And I remember we went to see a film or a movie there called The Hiding Place. And it was all about these Christians. I didn't know what a Christian was really. I was just kind of nominal Catholic. But they were a Christian, born-again family in the Netherlands in World War II. And when the Nazis were gassing and killing men, women and children, because they were Jewish, they knew. They knew. They could not say, I have faith in Jesus, and not help to hide these Jews and try and help them live. So they hid Jews in their home. And many of you know the story. Somebody squealed on them. The Nazis came and arrested them. And a lady called Corrie ten Boom, her sister and her father, the three of them were sent to a concentration camp called Auschwitz in Poland now today. I visited there years ago. And her sister and father died there, but she survived. And when Denise and I were in a cinema in 1979 over on Winthrop Street, we watched this movie. I was going, I never knew any of this. And then at the end, this old lady comes on the screen. And it was this lady, Corrie ten Boom. And she started talking about that everyone could have a relationship with Jesus in a personal way, in a way where you would know his love and you could show him your love. I had never heard that. No one ever told me that. I had heard that I had to obey religious rules. I never knew I could relate with God in that way. But it came on at the end of the movie. And you know what? Everyone had left the cinema while she was talking. And it was just me and Denise listening. It's almost like no one was interested, but we were interested, weren't we, my darling? We were interested. And that lady, Corrie ten Boom, said before she died, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Hallelujah. Never be afraid to trust your unknown future to the God you know. If you know him, you know you can trust him. We'll say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Most of the time, God gives you and God gives me, not always, but usually, just one piece of the puzzle about our future, because we probably can't handle the big picture. We can't handle the big picture because maybe you or I would get overwhelmed. When I was 6 or 7, my mother would bring me into the ground floor of our building here. It used to sell cakes. It was known as the Swiss Roll Shop. And we would go in and she would buy cakes for us. I loved going in there. I don't know why, but I love going in there. If I had heard, if some prophet came up to me at 7 and said, you're going to be a pastor in this building, it's like, I wouldn't have been able to handle that. At the age of 21, I was born again. And Denise and I got married in the Baptist church just up the road here. And we had the big reception party in the Metropole Hotel across the road. If someone had walked up to me and said, you see that building over there? One day that is going to be a Christian church. What? That's a bakery and an office. One day that is going to be a Christian church. You are going to be the pastor there. There's going to be 1,200 people coming in here. And you're going to lead them, be part of the team. And you're going to... I would either run like Jonah to Nineveh. Or I would be an obnoxious, proud young man who you wouldn't want to meet ever. Sometimes we would get too proud. Sometimes we would get too overwhelmed. Sometimes it's wrong for us to see the big picture. So God gives you and me one little piece of the picture. And what's the picture? It's just to take the next step. Levi is stepping into the flooded River Jordan. He doesn't know about the armies conquering the land. He doesn't know about the walls of Jericho are going to come tumbling down when they walk around them 7 times. He's not going to know about all the tribes capturing the land flowing with milk and honey. He just knows, I got to put my foot in a flooded river and somehow God is going to help me. Brothers and sisters, there might be a flooded river in your life, but have faith in God. Mark 11:22. Jesus said to them, have faith in God. How does that work out? It works out for your future. That this September, you trust God. God, you will open the right door, but you might close the right door as well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and he takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're okay when he gives, aren't we? But sometimes we don't want him to take. But sometimes the greatest blessing in your life is what is subtracted. Do you know why? It opens up room for something else to grow. I love gardening. And sometimes you've got to cut back plants so they have room to grow. You cut off the old branches, or you take out some plants to make room for others. Sometimes what God takes away from you is the best blessing you could have. But we just don't want anything to be taken away. Do you ever go into someone's house that's cluttered, that is a hoarder? You can't even walk through the house. There's so much stuff there. Could be a beautiful home, but you can't see it. It's full of clutter. God declutters us. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
And it's a great blessing. So could the band come up? We're going to pray for faith for your future. In a moment, I'm going to invite you up. We have 5 tables. We had a full house at 10 o'clock. So a lot of the jigsaw pieces, I hope we have enough for here. If you want to, we're going to invite you to come up in a moment and take a piece of the jigsaw. What are you going to do with the jigsaw? Where did I put my Bible? Where is the word? Okay, my Bible is somewhere. There. You were robbing that from me. I knew you were, Zosia. Do you know what I'm going to do with the piece of the jigsaw? This is just me. I'm going to keep it in my Bible. This is my Bible. Joseph O'Donovan gave me this little Bible as a gift. Thank you, Joseph. And I still use it. But I'm going to keep the piece of the jigsaw in my Bible. So every time I read it, every morning I open it, I'll see the piece of the jigsaw. And I will go, I'm going to be faithful for the next step. And God has the bigger picture for me. I don't know whether you use a physical Bible. Maybe you'd like to take a jigsaw piece and put it on your fridge, hang it in your car, put it in your favorite drawer. I don't know, but it's an opportunity for you and me to take something physical and to trust God for the big picture. So we're just going to sing a song we sang earlier on. Could you stand with us, please? And then we're going to pray and we're going to invite you to come, if you want, take a piece of the jigsaw and then go back to your seat. And we're going to hold it up before God in just a moment. The song is Firm Foundation. Let's remind ourselves of the truth in the song before we pray and invite you up. Sosha.
Christ is my firm foundation.
To a known God. The problem is, if you don't know God, it doesn't work. I'm going to give people an opportunity now. If God is distant from you, if you don't really know him, or if you've fallen away from him, this is your opportunity to connect with him again. So can I ask everyone on and off stage, close your eyes. Let's all give one another privacy. I can just see shadows. I can't see your face. But if you want to connect with God, if you want to know him, if you want to invite him into your life, or if you want to say, Lord, I've drifted and I am recommitting my life to you today, in total privacy, could you lift up your hand? See your hand? Yours. Yours, 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 yours. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yours. Praise God. And yours. Okay, I think we have... And yours on the back. 9 people. I'm going to ask that we all pray a prayer together. Are you okay with that? If you could repeat after me. But for those 9 people, it really is for you. But we're going to pray it in solidarity with you. So let's declare this before God, before the evil one, to our own souls, and even to one another. Let's say this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me my sin. Make me clean again. I invite you into my life. I want to follow you. Be my leader. Be my savior. Be my friend. Be my healer. Come, Holy Spirit. Let today be the beginning of a whole new chapter in my life with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can we give those 9 guys a round of applause? God bless you. If we can do anything to help you on your journey, that's why we're here. Don't try and do it alone. You're part of a community if you want to be, and we're here to support you. So brothers and sisters, the band is going to sing the song Firm Foundation. A bit like the breaking of bread, we're going to invite you to come and take a jigsaw piece. If we can come up the 2 centre aisles, go down the 2 side aisles, like a one-way system. If you don't want to do it, no one's judging you. But if you do, I'm going to invite you to take it, and then we're going to hold it up before God and pray. But let's come and take one first, for those who want to, and the band are going to sing for us. Hallelujah.
I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace.
Pieces of material that touched the Apostle Paul, and when they brought those little pieces of material back to the sick were healed. God can do anything. He can use a silly little piece of cardboard to help you and me in our faith as a reminder that God has got our backs. So if you have a piece of jigsaw, can I ask you to just hold it up to heaven as I pray? And to every life here, hundreds of people with hopes and fears and challenges and loneliness and illness and money issues. But God, you love us. You're for us. You have plans for us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You will not harm us. We have a future. So Lord, we hold this jigsaw piece as a symbol of the little piece of the picture we have. And God, for what we can understand, you've given us our minds. And what we can't understand, you've given us your Holy Spirit. So with what we have, we hold this up and we declare, today, the 10th of August in the year of our Lord, 2025, at Grace Church, McCurtain Street, Cork, we declare we will trust you with the big picture, but we will be faithful for the next step. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we pray into our Septembers. And we pray you would go before us, Lord. And you would remember the day that we prayed, God, we are happy with just one piece. Because I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell at ease in the tents of wickedness. So we are content with this little piece of the jigsaw, Lord. And I pray for the coming days, weeks and months, this would be forefront in our thinking. And that when doors open and when doors close, when you give and when you take away, we would remember our part of this is to be faithful with the next step. And so we declare that now, and we ask you to give us strength to do it in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said,
amen.
Let's sing the chorus of this one more time before we close, guys. Zosha.
Rain came with doom, the fire house was stable.
To bless you this coming week. I know he wants to bless you. I know he wants you to sense him, maybe even come into your dreams. I know he wants to deliver you from temptation. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to pray that God would bless you as we close our meeting. We're going to serve coffee and tea upstairs afterwards if you have time to stay, but some may not. So we want to close our gatherings today with the ancient blessing. So if you're okay with it, you don't have to, but no one's going to steal your money here or touch you in an inappropriate way. So if you're okay with it, would you put a hand on the shoulder of someone next to you? Go on, go on, go on. Be brave. You and I are going to be in heaven together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How about up here? I feel lonely. Hey. Stash, don't mind the guitar. Put your hand on my shoulder. Are we ready?
Yes.
You know the prayer. Let's pray to one another. It's an ancient prayer. The Jews were praying it over their children 4,000 years ago. Let's pray today over one another and our children. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much for coming, guys. Each one of you is blessed. We are so delighted you are here.